Hello, welcome to Art Talks with Al Ninod. Catch up with the latest Art Talks, conversations, interviews on contemporary art in Ghana. These episodes are recordings of Art Talks, art seminars, interviews gathered from different art spaces in Ghana and around the world.
And so if you were out of the house, you had to make sure you were home by maybe 6:30, 7 p.m. Otherwise, you eat leftovers.
Yeah.
So that was a time when we'd come back together. I mean, if you had some interesting experience during the day, that was the time you could talk about it. You know, so I think somehow there's this connection to food.
I don't know.
And we decided to frame a work around food.
Okay.
But only so that we could use food as a metaphor to talk about what I really enjoy talking about, which is politics.
Okay.
And so we had that show at the Royal Sport Gallery.
Okay.
And because it wasn't home here, I thought I'd like to also show it here. And that is how the show, this particular show, came here. So basically it's me creating work and us talking about food, about politics, and just about my daily observations, the kind of questions I want to ask, the kind of visions I want to share, you know, all the things I want to talk about. But using food as a new medium and food culture, you know, as a language around which we do that.
So to pursue that, what are you saying in this particular piece where food is directly involved? Okay. If you can talk a little bit about what is on there.
Okay. This side. So, for this particular piece that I call Watch It Special,
okay.
I have a series of paintings that feature the British Queen and Robert Mugabe as the then president of Zimbabwe. I think the relationship they have is a strong example of the relationship the British Crown or the British government has had and is continuing to have with a lot of countries on the continent or the continent as a whole. So I pick specific events in their life and in their relationship to use to talk about the broader relationship that is being had. So this particular way, I made it. It was around 6 March.
Okay.
Ghana celebrates the Independence Day around the time. And there were a lot of stories going around that I wanted to talk about. Because also when I make these things, I try to layer different stories and condense it into a single picture. Okay. So that through one picture, I can speak about so many different things together.
Okay.
There was a story about Elijah Addo, who is a chef based in Ghana, who was selected as one of the exemplary youth from the Commonwealth region or Commonwealth group, who was to be honored by the Queen.
Okay.
I think every now and again they make those events where they honor these people, people who are good things that are good, and the police and carry. So he was one of the people who was selected from Ghana. And during his receipt of the medal, the Queen requested that he makes her some food from Ghana. So he made her watch it.
Okay.
And it was quite big. It was trending on social media and all that. And it caught my attention.
Okay.
And then there was also the story about the Queen selecting a new equerry. I think the Crown Prince had resigned from those duties, and so someone was to be selected to replace it. And that person was also of Ghanaian descent. I think I read a few posts Ghanaian people wrote celebrating him, and it was also of interest to me.
Okay.
Then also, I mean, the decades-long story about the Queen and Mugabe, you know, from what I gather, at a point, the relationship wasn't so sore. You know, Mugabe was the darling child around the time when Mandela was the stubborn one. He was still in jail. Mugabe was the darling child up until the time when he started demanding control of the land resources. And then he became the bad child. And, you know, he and Mandela switched a number of times. But
I learned he was once in United. So he was a Sir, Sir Robert Mugabe, and then 4 years after, he was stripped, the title was stripped of him. All these things are of interest to me. So I wanted to paint a picture that would ask why all these events, I mean the event about the chef, about the query, why they were being celebrated the way they were. Because if anything at all, I thought the relationship between the British Crown and Ghana or the African continent had changed.
Okay.
And so the way we saw things should be revised.
Okay.
So much that some of the things people were celebrating became a source of curiosity for me.
I see.
So I wanted to put all of these things into one picture, which I did. And always when I do these things, I try to apply some humor because you realize these things are very charged and not many people want to talk about. I don't even think some of them are in like common knowledge. You know, but doing something like this and you know putting humor on it means now people can see it, laugh about it, and then begin to, you know, you can begin to share knowledge and talk about these things.
I see.
For me also, the punch comes when you see something that is not very, very commonplace. To see a man making a meal in like such a domestic setting for a woman. I know it's something that happens, but it is not like it's not very commonplace. So I wanted to play with that idea a little. And also, I try to leave certain clues in my work so that people can decipher it. So if you read tree or you understand the tree language, you can read some of the labels, the ingredients, and those are the things that tell what my real intents are when I make this.
Okay. Kind of departing a little bit, in your, for those of you who are familiar with Bryce's work, you know, he likes goats. Goats feature in his work. What story are you telling me about goats?
Well, if you talk about goats, then I know you are referring to the President Mohammed's bunch.
Maybe that.
So, when I started making these paintings in 2015, there was this big story about, I think then the President, ex-President Mohammed was in power, and I was in Kumasi at the time. There was a big story about how he was interviewed and asked about people who were striking in Ghana. I think nurses were on strike at the time, and there were so many problems, but I think the nurses problem was the latest one. And he was asked about it, and he made some comments like he wasn't afraid because a dead goat was no longer afraid of a knife, or a dead goat is no longer afraid of a knife. And I think it made BBC's top 15 speeches of the year. I think they have this program where every year they select the top 15 like moment defining speeches.
Okay.
And it made that list. You know, and it was also something that I took interest in because it was quite shocking that he would say something like that. Maybe he meant it in jest, but it was not the most tasteful joke to make at that particular time. So I started analyzing that character of the first of all, I didn't think he was the only person who had that disease as he diagnosed. I mean, it's something that cuts across the Ghanaian population. So I started featuring that quote in my work for a while.
Okay.
And sometimes the quote is dead, sometimes the quote is alive, but you know, it comes to the quote.
Okay. And this question, I think, maybe you get some perceptions that people want me to ask. What do you think make your work pleasurable?
Oh, my work, I think everything about my work is pleasurable. First of all, I think because of my training as a painter and because I love painting, first of all, when I make work, I make it for myself. So I make work that I enjoy making. It's all, for me, it starts with the process. Conceiving ideas, executing it, the joy of painting and not getting it right, and suffering over detail and trying to depict all those things. First of all, I think it's what I enjoy, and it's pleasurable to me. So maybe when people see those things and they see my cartoons and there's a
certain amount of detailed depiction or realistic depiction. It's that the first point of appeal. Also, I think because of the way I satirize, everybody likes satire. I think everybody likes satire because it's able to do one thing that is, that the first thing is, it's able to just deconstruct a very, very serious issue. And so people can now approach the issue easier. I think that's also another point of appeal. You know, because all these things, realize people want to talk about them, but it's not very nice. No, or it's too serious. By the moment you make it funny, then people can approach it like easier way than if it was not. So I think that's also another point of appeal. Well, I also think maybe the fact that I'm a very young person, I'm very, very young, trying to speak about things that traditionally or customarily are supposed to be above my head, so that, for instance, where I grew up, politics was what the adults discussed. Children, like myself, were not allowed to talk about it. You know? So you just, if you were lucky, maybe you overhear your parents talk about a politician and dress them down or say something, but you're not allowed to talk about it. But being a young person and trying to actively engage it, I think it's also of some kind of appeal.
Okay.
And the last thing I think about is that maybe people perceive that I am fearless, but it's just their perception. And because I want to support a brand, I want to be but just trying to say things that, again, I shouldn't say, or I shouldn't be able to say, or shouldn't be allowed to say, but trying to say these things every day is also some kind of appeal to it. Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll throw this question back to the audience and hear your thoughts. But taking this conversation in a different tangent, I think you're the first Ghanaian satirist whose works are sold as collectibles, right? From this perspective, do you think such angle to your work influences the type of things that you deal with?
Well, no. I'm not very certain about how other artists, older artists who work with this medium have dealt with their work with regards to sales and that. So I don't know if I'm really like the best person to try to do that. But
oh, trust me, you are. But you go ahead.
Well, because other people have like deals with magazines and newspapers, and I know that's also like another angle to it. It's something I have not tried yet, but we are going to try very soon. So,
with your intern?
With my intern or my agent, we are going to try very soon. But when I started making these paintings, all my themes were from local politics.
Okay.
And I think it still is. It's just that along the line, my view or my scope broadened. So that I wasn't talking about only Ghanaian things or African stories. You know, I tried to also talk about things happening in America, things happening in China or wherever. But the one thing that stuck is, I always say it from the point of view of a young person living and working in Ghana. So when I talk about America, I talk about America the way I see it here. With all the right sources, all my wrong guesses, the gossips, the misinformation. I try to put all of those things into my work. So, no, it's not really because of the possibility of selling a few prints. But I just think my scope broadened. Because when I go back to politics, I know what happens in America affects what happens here. Just the same way what happens here also affects people who live out there in China or in Brazil or wherever. So, I think it's just my scope that brought it to
it. I have two more questions and then we'll open it up. As a Ghanaian who has lived within Ghanaian popular culture, I mean, I think you've experienced hand-painted movie posters. We've seen the way roadside artists paint barbershop signs, etc. you've seen the concert party, you know, genre as well. Do you think such genres has, such visual genres has influenced the way you paint?
Wow, yeah. I remember when I was in GSS, somewhere in Kalishi, when we closed from school, there was a cinema, I don't think it's working anymore, but there was a cinema in Bubuashi.
Mm.
And they had a huge billboard somewhere in Bubuashi where I walked home. So every time you see this, these posters on the wall. And
the movie ones.
Yeah, the movie ones, action right? Movies with the macho men and the blood and helicopters and all. You see those things on the wall. Mm. And not I wasn't the only one. Other children also went to sit under these billboards to draw.
Mm.
I also did that sometimes because I was fascinated by these things. Fortunately, one of my mates in school, his father rented video cassettes to cinemas.
Mm.
So for every cassette or every movie, he had the poster.
Mm.
So sometimes I didn't have to go there, but I was able to get 5x7 prints, and I'll make drawings, I'll copy those things into my notes. Only that somewhere along the line, I destroyed all those things. I don't know what, but I just destroyed all of them. Perhaps I didn't think I'll develop a career doing this thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's been a huge influence on me. I still enjoy seeing people using these older hand-painted posters. Just that it seems to have faded out of the system a bit because of the influx of like digital technology and print and photography. And so it seems to have faded out a bit, but I still remember some of these posters I saw. I might have one or two drawings I copied back at home. So yes, it's been a source of inspiration for me.
And I asked this question because of the similarities or some similarities that I saw in one of your pieces titled Them Threaten.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Right. For those who haven't seen it, it's a follow-up to With the Bear, right?
Where it's not here.
It's not here right now. It's called Them Threaten. And when I looked at it, I'm like, this guy certainly was, you know, had certain experiences.
There was this, I brought in this Chinese movie character.
Yes. Yes.
It's that came directly from that movie poster genre. There was also this other piece that I think two other pieces that I made, which was like an appropriation of typical movie posters. One for the Delta Force movie and for Predator, which was in Schwarzenegger's movie.
Mm.
You know, but I made those appropriations because I wanted to talk about those characters in particular. And sometimes also about the themes of the work, but the influence is still there.
Mm.
I still go back to posters, these hand-painted posters. Okay.
All right, so last question. What advice do you have for young and emerging satirists in Ghana?
Well, as a young satirist myself, I think